Hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and Jerry Usher will be back this week for a couple shows, but you have me, and I have you, because we're talking all about experiences of God, those mystical encounters, those mystical moments where you just know it's definitely from God. And I want to hear your stories. Now, they've got to be the shortened version, condensed, you know, the Reader's Digest version. And please know that we care about your stories. And it's not about bragging, oh, look at me, listen to my story, I had an encounter with God. It's about sharing our own walk, how we know that God is present, God is with us, and we want to share our experiences of God so that others can learn and grow and get deeper in the faith. And this is your show. It's a live call-in show. It's been going strong for 10 plus years. And all I need to do is receive your story, your call. We love first-time callers. So please, if you're thinking about calling in, I would love for you to dial in right now during this very brief hour we get to spend with one another. And one other thing I wanted to share real quickly is, you know, it's so interesting because people may say, well, what can we, you know, we're hearing these people's stories, you know, what are we learning? Well, we're learning a lot. How do we know that? Because we get the emails of folks that say they just got into their car, tuned into the station, and they're like, oh my goodness, this is a live call-in show, and we're learning and growing in the faith. So please dial this number. We've got Matt Gabinski on the phones, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And you don't have to be Catholic to call in. If you've had an experience of God, if you have felt very close to God, you knew it was the supernatural, please, please call in. Don't hesitate. Okay. Share your story. And we love, oh, the phone lines are lighting up. That's great for a Monday. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And I'm waving to everybody on social media. Hi, you guys, get your chats going. I just got back from Yuma, Arizona. Yuma Catholic Radio had their annual fundraising gala. It was amazing. Oh my goodness. The food, the people, the entertainment. We had dancing. It was incredible. And I just want to thank the fine folks of Yuma Catholic Radio for welcoming me and my wonderful husband, Marty, to your great event. I hope it was a huge success for all your Catholic radio listeners in the area. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was just a wonderful time. That was my second time speaking at Yuma Catholic Radio. Hopefully I'll get invited back again someday. So thanks, you guys, if you're listening right now. Call in. Tell us maybe your experience of the event. But I want to hear stories about your mystical encounters with God. And so many of us have had them. We maybe are a little bit, you know, apprehensive to talk about it. We're not sure if it's going to be received well. We're not sure if we're going to be saying, oh, you know, like I said, hey, put the spotlight on me. God's showing himself to me. No, but if we do it in a way where we can really catechize one another, we can really help one another grow in faith, then it is worth it. So share your story. Again, keep it very short and to the point, because we get a lot of calls here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And I really do want to hear all the details of it, maybe what was going on in your life. Because oftentimes when God feels that he needs to show himself in some way, or he needs to bring some comfort, it's because something is happening in your life. And so those details matter. And then we can kind of put the puzzle pieces together. Number to dial is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we have Michael at the controls. He's doing such a fine job. We've got Matt on the phones, like I said, and Pedro on social media. So I'm waving again to you guys three times today. Okay. You can also text us. You can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your really short story. And Just know that message and data rates may apply. Tomorrow, just looking ahead, tomorrow is the feast day of St. Padre Pio. And I think if you've listened to Take Two for probably about a month, you would know that we absolutely love Padre Pio. So the whole entire show is all about him tomorrow, what we know about him, how he has been active in our spiritual lives. It may be the spiritual sons and daughters of Padre Pio can call in tomorrow. That's tomorrow. But today we're talking about experiences of God. And I want to share something just because I think it's only fair that if I'm going to ask you to share your stories, I'll share a story. When I was in religious education, and I think it was around 2002 or 2003, long time ago, and I was just really just at a place where I was trying to do a lot of things for the church, a lot of things in my own home with the kids. The kids were little at the time, my two boys, and there were just a lot of things happening. And I remember just hitting kind of a, I don't know how you would describe it. I felt like I was going through the motions, but I wasn't really present, and I didn't like the feeling. And I'll never forget, I went to my pastor, who was also my boss, and I sat down with him and I said, "Father, I'm not quite sure what's going on inside of me." And immediately he said, "Deb, I really want you to go to the Adoration Chapel and spend time with Jesus, and he will tell you and he will show you exactly, you know, how you need to just feel and how you need to accept, you know, everything that's going on in your life at the time, and you will feel ready to go again, you know, energized, if you will. You'd feel excited about the ministry." And so we had a perpetual adoration chapel at our parish, and I loved that so very much. Always visited Jesus constantly because it was actually right across the breezeway from where my office was at the time. Anyway, okay, long story short, I got to go fast. Jesus definitely showed himself to me in the Adoration Chapel, and it was mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. Forever changed the direction of the ministry work he allowed me to do. And Father was right. Well, Father's almost always right. So it was pretty amazing. And to this day, if I close my eyes, I can still see exactly where I was in the chapel, and I can still see the image that I saw. It lasted for several days, actually. And then I think Jesus felt it was enough so for me to go on and continue work. So it was an encounter that I always go back to whenever I'm feeling a little, you know, just a little flat. And it's just amazing. So I want to hear your experiences of God when we come back. 833-288-3986. Hang tight, everybody. I'll be back in just a minute. Okay, we're talking about experiences of God today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Please call in 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we're going to go to Rose first. Rose, hang on. Don't go anywhere. We just had a call drop. So if you'd like to jump on a line and share your experience of God, your very intimate encounter with God, this is just personal for you. I would love to hear that. So please, you know, it's wonderful to have these experiences of God in a massive, you know, group setting. That's incredible. But I'm really getting down to the real one-on-one experiences of God. So be thinking of that when you call in. Wanted to share this before we get to Rose, who's going to lead the discussion. The Seven Sorrows of Mary, the Black Bead Bracelet. The Seven Sorrows of Mary, also known as the Seven Dolors, is a devotion instituted in the 13th century in honor of the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To help you pray this beautiful devotion, get this stretch bracelet with 16 black facet cut beads separated by two silver plated spacer beads. I love that. Seven medals depicting each of Our Lady's sorrows dangle between the beads, and a larger medal of Our Lady of Sorrows marks the beginning. It's available now at EWTNRC.com. It's free standard shipping. Online orders $75 or more. Standard shipping is for the continental U.S. only. Use code FREE at checkout. Okay, so the Seven Sorrows of Mary, very powerful devotion. I would definitely encourage folks to maybe pick up that bracelet and give it as a gift, but explain the Seven Sorrows to people so they understand it. Okay, we did have, like I said, someone dropped from the line here, so they were going to be second in line. So if you'd like to jump in, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're talking about experiences of God. And Rose from Virginia on the EWTN app, you are first and welcome to take two. Hey, Rose.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling because I had an experience I didn't understand. It was kind of bizarre to me. My heart was really racing. I had trouble breathing. I remember being rushed to the hospital, and they kept giving me these meds to slow down my heart, and my heart wouldn't. I remember all these people running in with all these machines, and they were saying, oh, your heart's getting faster. And then I remember my body just going limp, and I was in total darkness. Mm-hmm. And I just was thinking, oh, I guess what Papa said was true. That was my grandfather. He was a very religious man. And then all of a sudden I saw a really bright, I don't know if it was a light or what it was, but I was outside of my body and I saw this light, this brightness. I'd never seen bright like that ever. Mm-hmm. And it went all around my body, and I woke up in a hospital room with a gown on. And I know my chest was hurting really bad, and there were burn marks on my chest. So I assumed they had shocked me. But it really shook me up, and I was asking a doctor about it. And he said, well, when people get all those medicines and things like that, we don't know what really goes on in their mind. Mm-hmm. And then I told a minister about it, and he told me, he said, I'm going to record it. And he said, just don't tell anybody that happened.
Mm-hmm. Why did he say don't tell anybody? I've heard that before about people, clergy members saying that. Tell me his reasoning behind that, if you can.
I didn't even question it. I was so shaken up by it. I didn't even ask him. But he told me, don't tell anybody. Here I am telling someone. But he said, don't tell anybody. But it's always stayed with me because it was such a, I don't know. I've never seen that kind of bright in my life,
right?
Even on a movie,
right? So ruling out, you know, the medicine that they had you on and things of that nature. That bright light, did it scare you? Did it, what reaction did you have when you were taking it all in?
At first, I was just so overwhelmed. You know, I was like, "What is this?" You know, and I just found out my grandfather and, you know, all the things you learn growing up about, oh, yeah, there is the afterlife. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, everything those people said, it's true.
Right.
And
right.
Then when that light came, I was overwhelmed because I had never seen anything that bright ever, ever.
Well, and I'm sure if you close your eyes again, you can probably kind of embrace it again, right?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and it's never, and that bright light has never happened again since then?
No, never. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you got to take into consideration the kind of, you know, medicines and stuff they had you on and things of that nature, because I guess that could trigger, you know, some of these encounters. But, you know, for the most part, in all the years I've been doing ministry, and I've been doing ministry since I was 18 years old, so that's a long time, almost, you know, 40 plus years. The stories that I have heard over and over again of these mystical encounters, these experiences of God, they all ring true in so many ways, meaning like it hasn't happened again. It stopped. It was for a certain time. It was for a certain situation in a person's life. And it was something that was very unique to that person. And it was only meant for you. And I wonder if, Rose, if that's why a lot of people who are clergy recommend not sharing the stories. And I will tell you that I got the same advice as well for many years from my uncle, who was a priest. But I've come to find out just recently You know, the interesting thing about priests, that priests have mystical encounters quite often and they don't share them. So I wonder if it has something to do with the fact that, you know, everyone just keeps it very private, you know, and not to go out there and share it because of, you know, to remain humble and everything. And I understand that. But I also think there's a downside to that. And I'll tell you why. Because when we do that, we're not necessarily sharing our walk and our Christian witness, and it's in our experiences, it's in our sharing the faith, it's in our growing in the faith that others can get inspired. We can see that, and we see exactly that happened with Charlie Kirk, right? Exactly is what happened, and now they're calling it the Charlie Kirk effect. It's happening, and because when you know to learn about somebody else's faith, to learn and to hear what they have experienced, and to have recordings of what they've said in public, it has inspired people to go back to the Lord. So there's a reason, there's a time and a place, I think, to share these things. Now, I agree maybe with that clergyman that said, you know, maybe we shouldn't go out there and, you know, put a sign on, say, hey, look at me, you know, God appeared to me. I understand that. But when the opportunity, like what we're doing right here on Take Two, happens, I think it's important we show up and we share so people can build confidence in knowing that the Christian walk is a beautiful journey. And it can be, it doesn't always happen. It can have, you know, very, very personal, intimate, mystical encounters. What do you think, Rose?
I agree. And that makes sense why they wouldn't want us to share it. And then I said, who would believe you, you know, when you talk about these kind of things?
Right.
They sound so supernatural, you know, yeah. Not in our world.
Right. But, you know, oftentimes I will tell you, though, you're right. But if you have somebody that you're talking to and they say, oh, I see, you know, angels all the time, or I see Jesus and Mary all the time, and they're saying it in a way that is a little bit, you know, out of the ordinary, you know, of what we experience as Christians, I can understand that. But oftentimes these encounters come when a person is ill or going into the hospital or going into surgery or coming out of surgery or having a loss, you know, with a death or something of that nature, or they are spiritually doubting, or they have a spiritual a sense of, you know, a kind of a numbness or just what I had going through the motions because you just are so over, you're tired and things of that nature. The Lord appears when he needs to help those to keep going. And I really believe that. That's me talking now, Debbie Giorgiani, just my personal experience in being in ministry for over 40 years. I will tell you that I've noticed that completely. And if you look at Eucharistic miracles, it's exactly that. It's usually when the parishioners or the people or the priest has been doubting. And when they've been doubting, what did the Lord do? He appeared. And he showed himself scientifically, right? So it's pretty incredible. So I love that you shared, Rose, and I love that you had that encounter, and that'll always be yours, and no one can take that away from you. And so thank you for sharing.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity, and thank you for your show.
Oh, thank you. Call anytime. Thank you. God bless you. Pat from Cleveland, Ohio, I think was on the line next. We were going to go next to you. Pat, if you get this message, call back, because I believe you work in hospice. And I want to ask somebody that works in hospice a question about this, because I have seen this a lot when my mother was in hospice. So Pat from Cleveland, Ohio, if you're listening, please call back. We're going to stay in Cleveland, Ohio, also on the Rock. Anna is up next from Ohio. Hi, Anna. Is it Anna or Anna?
Anna.
Anna. Okay. Thank you. You go right ahead.
Okay. My experience was that my uncle passed away in Canada, and the family has not been talking for years because they didn't want to talk, and I didn't have a phone number to call her. But somehow my cousin in Ukraine found out that he passed away and called me to tell me that he's gone. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how sad, he's, you know, he left. I can't even express my sympathy to my aunt. Mm-hmm. It's so sad. Well, I'm just going to have three masses set for him. So I called a Franciscan, and they had three masses in a row. And I was still feeling sad that, you know, we couldn't connect. Well, one day I was going to work early, and I had to look something up on the computer, so I Googled whatever it was. I don't remember now. But instead of what I wanted, some church came out. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, how the heck did I get this? So I Googled again. The second time, the church came out. So what the heck is going on? So I did it third time. And I said, you know, that looks like my aunt's church in Canada. So I went in to see where this church was, and it was in Canada. It was my aunt's. A mess was being started for my uncle's 40th day of passing away. We're Byzantine, and we have 40-day mess after the person leaves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, shocked how God let me know that my uncle knows that I have messes for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's incredible.
I've had many experiences, but that's the latest one. And it was just such a shock. And so happy that, you know, he knows.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And that had to have brought you such incredible, I mean, obviously you're sharing it, so you sound so grateful for the experience, but it has made you feel loved by God, that it's all connected, and it just keeps reinforcing the truth that your uncle is alive now more in Christ, right? He's alive fully in Christ. And so that connection will only make you feel better inside. And I'm sure it did. But my point is that the loss that you've experienced and being disconnected, being miles away, the Lord doesn't want that for us. The Lord wants us to stay very close. Did you feel that? Did you feel the closeness, Anna?
Oh, yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I did. I just, like I said, I was in ecstasy the whole day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oops, Anna accidentally disconnected. So she was happy. Sorry about that. If you tune back in, Anna, that was accidentally dropped. So that was a beautiful call. And that's my point about having this particular episode, Experiences of God. God is much closer than we think. So oftentimes we are so feeling alone and isolated, and we feel distant from God. It's just not true. The good Lord is there. He's present, and he wants us to feel that kind of love that Anna had felt about her uncle in the masses. I love that. And speaking of the masses, please have masses said for those the faithful departed that have passed in your life. It is so important to keep praying and keep having the masses said. They will never be wasted. Okay, it's what we need to do as the church militant. So please make sure you go to the church and have some masses said for your loved ones. And maybe they've been gone for 20-30 years. Okay, that doesn't matter. Remember, God stands outside of time. So it's so important to get there and have masses said for them. Another shout out again to Pat from Cleveland, Ohio. I think they work in hospice. Please, Pat, if you can call back, I want to ask a question about hospice. We do have an open phone line. The number is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And if you are a member of the clergy, if you're a deacon, if you are a priest, a bishop, if you're religious, please call in and let us know why it is that so many of the clergy encourage the faithful to keep these stories private. I'm very curious that your take on it, or if there was some kind of seminary training or something of that nature that what you were instructed to tell people that, because it is true. I've heard it many, many times. I mean, not just once. I'm saying like 20-30 times I've heard it. So I'm curious as to the reason behind it. So if you are a clergy, please call in and you can enlighten us. Michael on YouTube, my best experience of God is when a rainbow appears in the sky showing his glory and love. Oh, Michael, I so agree with that. I'm going to wave to you, Michael. Thank you so much for weighing in on this topic. Okay, Experiences of God today. We have full phone lines. I love it. Here's the number, 833-288. EWTN 833-288-3986. I'll be right back. We're talking about experiences of God today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And I don't know what's going on with Cleveland, Ohio, The Rock, but there's like three or four calls that have come in. You guys are like up and ready to go with Take Two today. I love that. Well, it's the afternoon there. So you guys are doing, it's lunch. You're probably at lunch. Maybe you ate a quick lunch and now you're calling in. I love that. Okay, so one more shout out to Pat from Cleveland, Ohio, who I think works in hospice. I want to ask a hospice worker questions, please. If you've worked in hospice, you had an experience of hospice, I need to ask a question of you. Okay, before we get back to the phone, Suzanne's going to be next from Columbus, Ohio. So Suzanne, hold on, don't go anywhere. We'd like to welcome four new stations to the EWTN family. Light of Jesus, 98.9 in Manhattan, Kansas. Red Sea Radio, 91.9 in Hallettsville, Texas, in the Diocese of Victoria, and Catholic Spirit Radio 90.5 in Charleston, Illinois, and 94.5 in Rockford, Illinois. Welcome to the family from all of us here at EWTN. You guys are awesome. This is great. We're growing the family. That's the way to do it. Okay, Suzanne is up next from Columbus, Ohio, on our friends at St. Gabriel Radio. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi there, Debbie.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Well, my situation is my husband, I was an oncology nurse, and actually I did work with hospice for a while as well, but I was an oncology nurse, and my husband of 35 years was diagnosed with stage 3 prostate cancer, and I was devastated. And so he had surgery, and about 2 weeks later they were having a healing mass at this church in Columbus that I was not a member of, but, you know, Catholic church. And I had never been to a healing mass before, so I really didn't know what to expect. It was just a regular mass, and then after the mass, they had this, it was a man, a speaker from Cincinnati, who felt commissioned by the Blessed Mother to go around and speak to people about, you know, the healing that God could bring about in our lives. And what he did was they had all these hundreds of them, and the church was packed. And after Mass, we were to go up, lined up, just like communion, and he would tuck one of these little rose petals in your lapel. Mm-hmm. And so as I was in, and supposedly some people had picture, you know, like a little cameo of the Blessed Mother. Some people that happened to. It didn't happen to me. But when I was walking up, I saw all these men lined up, like it was a communion rail where you went up. Mm-hmm. And these men were all standing there, like, and I'm thinking to myself, what are these guys standing here for? I'm thinking to myself skeptically, is this one of those slain in the spirit things? I'm like, oh, come on. You know, I was very skeptical. I'm like, I was just, so I got up there, we lined up, and this guy came, and honestly, when he tucked that thing in my lapel, it felt like a wind gust of 100 miles an hour hit me. It was like a door opened, and this gust of wind hit me, and I landed back, and this guy did lay me down. I mean, that's exactly what they were there for, and I couldn't move. I was shaking. Tears were coming out of my eyes because I knew it was from God. I knew he was really reminding me of his presence in my life, and that it was going to be okay, and that he was with me. And I just will never forget. I just couldn't even, I was probably on the floor like a good 4 minutes before. I couldn't even move. I was like, just like shaking, tears coming out of my eyes because I was so happy. And then finally, after almost 5 minutes, I think the guy helped me up, and I was able to walk back to my seat. But I literally was so shaken. It was unbelievable. It was the most incredible, wonderful thing. And God was with me for the next journey until my husband died 8 years later. And God gave me the gift that when my husband was dying, I was going back there to check on him. The hospice nurse was with him. And I went back, and he literally rolled over and died in my arms.
Oh!
And I felt like I had to lose the best gift of my life to get the best gift in my life. I mean, it was wonderful that he was able to die in my arms.
Right.
And so So that's my story about being slain in the spirit.
Well, an amazing story. But, you know, with your husband being diagnosed 8 years earlier with stage three prostate cancer. Okay. And then you were probably feeling, like you said, so overwhelmed by it. And then the Lord allowed you to have this peaceful feeling, you know, in his presence at this healing mass. I mean, that's just huge. And then, like you said, it sustained you to carry for the 8 years so that you were able to get through it. Suzanne, before I let you go, I want to ask you a question. Can you give us your husband's first name so I can put him in the prayer book?
Sure. It was Ralph.
Ralph. Okay. Beautiful.
Thank you. I would appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, Suzanne, what you just shared about the healing masses, that's another reminder for all of us that, you know, so many dioceses, so many parishes, usually a couple times a year, they'll have somebody for a healing mass, or they'll do one on a regular basis. I know one parish where I live in Arizona, they have a healing mass every single month. And it is so wonderful to go. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, super sick or something happening, just to get that sense that God, I can feel the Holy Spirit as I said this, that you get the sense that God is so close to those that are hurting or those that are struggling or those that are going through a difficult time. It's an important reminder. And so I'm so grateful that you shared that, Suzanne, that incredible experience that you had at just the right time in your life.
It really was. God is so great. Every night when I would go to bed, I would say, God, I don't know how this is going to play out, but I know you're in charge. And, you know, it has to be your way. And it did. It worked out. And yes. So thank you. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Real quickly, because Pat from Cleveland, Ohio, didn't call back about hospice because you must have gotten busy. But I want to ask you a quick question about hospice. I've heard it said many times that people that work in hospice, because they are so close to the dying experience, and then once the person passes, right, there have been many, many encounters of where the other side, whether it be loved ones or the Blessed Mother or Jesus himself or, you know, some saint has appeared where the person has clearly identified that person. Have you ever experienced that? The dying person saying something like, I'm seeing this.
Yes, I did have a patient once. He sat up and he saw his, I think it was his wife or was it his daughter, but he saw and he called her out by name. I mean,
he did.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Debbie, and when my husband died, actually, I could literally feel his spirit being lifted out of him because he was. I didn't actually realize he was quite at that point yet, and I just went to check on him and laid in back of him and said, sweetheart, just calm down, honey, because he was breathing, you know, heavily. Mm-hmm. And then when he took all this deep breath and then just rolled over into my arms and took one final breath, and I literally could feel his spirit being lifted out of him. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean,
ooh,
it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I know God has just blessed me so.
Well, you've had the experience so closely with your husband. I mean, I'm sure it's bringing you comfort for your own journey, right? Because, you know, we're all going to die, right? Exactly.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A way to go, Suzanne.
Yes.
You were going to say one last thing. I have a feeling it was
very
profound.
No, I was just going to say God is so good. We have to let him lead the way. And we have to. I mean,
all the time.
When my husband was diagnosed, I just thought, I can't do this. Oh, I mean, I always felt like my husband was off limits, my family.
Right,
so I
right.
was so shocked when I'm like, no, God, it wasn't supposed to be this way, but
right.
God had other ideas and plans. So,
yeah.
And it all worked out.
It did.
Beautifully.
I love how you're praising God when you're saying God is great, God is good. You're so right, Suzanne. We got to keep doing that. And that's important that we share that because he is. He's a great God. Suzanne, you're awesome. Thank you so much for calling in. Call us again, please. A great encounter that you had, a very wonderful, deep encounter. So thank you, Suzanne. Okay, we're going to go to first-time caller, Marianne. Marianne is in Toledo, Ohio, on our friends at Annunciation Radio. We are staying in Ohio today. Hi, Marianne. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you very much. And I'm excited to be able to share this story. I was working as a nurse, and I had to work a double shift and then drive home. And we lived in the country. It was a long drive back to my house. And it was dark. We were in the country roads, right? State Route 6. And I'm driving, and I could feel myself falling asleep at the wheel. And a bright light shone over my windshield as I was driving, and I thought, well, that's weird. I looked in my mirrors, nowhere. I mean, there's nothing. There's no town. There's no street lights, no other vehicles. So I kept on driving, and, you know, within a couple minutes, I felt myself falling asleep again, and this bright light once again shone over my windshield, very bright. Mm-hmm. And again, I looked around, nothing. And then it hit me. Oh, my gosh, that could be Jesus. That could be my guardian angel. Mm-hmm. I was wide awake all the way home. I woke my husband up to tell him what just happened. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, but it's not a story that I can tell very many people. So I'm so excited mm-hmm. to be able to say it now
well,
on radio. So that's my story.
Okay, well, it's a great story, and you should stick to it because you're a first-time caller. Definitely, you got to call us again. Okay, so you know, you probably, if you've listened to Take Two, I've studied angels for many, many years. Okay, and your story, almost exactly, I've heard probably half a dozen times. So you've got I would say it's if it were me, I was gonna guess like who appeared to you to wake you up from driving, I would say that it was your guardian angel. Based on what you shared. Now, everything comes from God, right? It all comes right. from the Holy Spirit. So it is an encounter with God through the guardian angel. And so, I've heard your story before, and it's so interesting. And so you couldn't go back to sleep. You couldn't fall asleep, even though you were exhausted. You couldn't fall asleep right. after you saw that bright light, could you?
Right. No, I was wide awake, very mm-hmm. alert, very excited. It was pretty amazing. And it was something that I will never forget. And this is well years ago that this happened to me. And I remember thinking, wow, God wants me to stay alive for some reason. We had four kids at the time. And it just hit me. Oh, it hit me like nothing ever hit me that God right. has a purpose for my life.
Right. So it cut out a little bit. How many years ago was that?
Over 30.
Over 30 years ago. Okay, yes, so you're spot on. So the good Lord wanted you alive, and so your guardian angel stepped in to wake you up so that you could drive home, and you're absolutely correct. Now, I think so anyway, based on my study of angels. Now, what I want to ask you is, have you continued to have a relationship with your guardian angel from the 30 years ago to today?
No, I didn't, because I had left the church, and I was just coming back into the church at that time. So my mm-hmm. focus wasn't at all on my angel, but instead on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's only recently, I would say in the last 10 years, really, where I felt more of a focus on our guardian angels, kind of always putting that whole mm-hmm. idea on the back burner. But recently, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, pastor we had at our church or various podcasts that I listened to mm-hmm. made me focus more on the reality of our guardian angel. So that's kind of recent for me.
Okay. So a couple things I want to share with you, since you did share what I believe is a guardian angel story. A couple things. First of all, you know this. All our focus, like you said, all our focus goes on God. Everything is comes from God. Our focus should be on God. But our guardian angels are there for a very special reason, to minister to us. And you had that clear encounter, in my opinion, with your guardian angel 30 years ago. What I would recommend, Marianne, in order to build the friendship and relationship with your guardian angel, is just say the guardian angel prayer in the morning. Okay. And if you can remember to say the guardian angel prayer in the evening too, that would be great. The reason why I say that is the demons, I believe, do not want us to remember that we even have a guardian angel. So oftentimes we don't even think about our guardian angel, but our guardian angel is there to minister to us and to get us to heaven. And your guardian angel, once you get to heaven, God willing, Marianne, your guardian angel will be one of your heavenly friends, very close friend. So it's great to get to establish that relationship as best you can on this side. And the way to do that is just to have gratitude that they have a mission that they are doing in your life, in your spiritual life. And so you acknowledge that with saying thank you to your guardian angel or saying the guardian angel prayer. It's It's that simple. But if you say it in the morning and the evening, it kind of sets the tone that you do recognize that they do have a mission by God himself. What do you say?
Oh, I think that's a great idea. I will definitely start doing that.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend you doing it, especially for people who have had encounters with their guardian angels. Definitely. Because there's, I mean, they're very, obviously they're very active. And so I'm sure they would, it would be very pleasing to God because And your guardian angel is unique for you. It's your guardian angel is not recycled or sent to anybody else. It's your guardian angel that God has instructed to take care of Marianne and to guard her and guide her. You know, Psalm 91, God's protection. Yes. So you got this, Marianne. Great story. I'm glad you shared it.
All right. Well, thank you for your information and advice. I will follow that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Call us again, please. Thank you. Vera is up next. First time caller in Easton, Texas on our friends at Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Vera. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for calling and thank you for being a first time caller. You got to call us again, though. Okay. But go ahead.
Oh, thank you. So I used to be a full-time working mother, and I was an oil and gas engineer for 12 years with two kids and was horribly stressed. I performed really well at work, but my emotions at home were all over the place. My children were really emotionally dysregulated. There was so much screaming at home, but I really loved my job, and I felt respected and admired at work, and I didn't want to leave. Finally, I started praying. Don't know what took me so long, but I started praying one morning. I remember hearing or praying, I'm struggling, but I really love my job. I just want to do one big project. I've done many small ones, but I just want to do one big one where we're floating a production platform from Korea across the ocean, you know, get that done, and then I'll quit. Mm-hmm. And God said very quietly, this is the project of a lifetime. And I think he was talking about my family. Mm. So it really touched me. And I said, I'm really afraid. I'm really afraid of being lonely. And he said, you will not be alone if you are with me.
Mm. Wow. Wow. When you said you felt the words with that, was as you were praying, just kind of, and it was infused, or you felt that inside of you that it tell me kind of how that played out. Was it just in your
head? It felt very quiet, very quiet. And it felt, mm-hmm. and it, I knew it was God because it was just something that I wouldn't have come up by myself. So I knew that it was God that was saying that to me. Wow. But it was very quiet, very quiet.
Wow. So how did you go forward then with your life and with your family? Can you share more of the details?
Yes. Yeah, so I ended up quitting.
You did. You did quit.
Yeah,
wow.
I did.
Wow.
And I haven't looked back. I mean, you know, staying at home is tough. You know, it's got its ups and downs, but mm-hmm. honestly, it's brought so much joy to our family. The house is more calm. The kids are happier. My husband is happier. And mm-hmm. we're able to really focus on, you know, what's important and really prioritize. Otherwise, before it was just kind of, you know, just getting through the day, getting through the months, getting through the years. And then the next thing you know, 3 years have gone by. You don't really remember what happened because it's just go, go, go. But now we're being more
intentional,
discerned. Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Discerning with our time, mm-hmm. and our priorities.
Wow. So it really has transformed your life.
Yes.
And that was a radical shift. I mean, that's huge. And you went with it. Incredible. That's incredible. One more time. I just want to make sure I have the details of it. When you had this encounter, that God was really, inspiring you, speaking to you to understand the importance of your vocation as a mother, as a wife, where were you at the time? Like where physically, where were you? I'm just curious.
I was in my living room, kneeling in front of our mantle. Okay. Which we have the crucifix.
You have the crucifix. It's a I knew it. So it's a crucifix.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Interesting. Okay. All righty. Wow. You've got an incredible encounter there, Vera. That's amazing. Have you shared this story before with anyone?
A little bit. Yeah. Just close friends.
Yeah.
And family. Yeah.
Well, you just shared it with potentially the world. So I hope that others kneel in front of a blessed crucifix and really be inspired by what the Lord has for them, for their purpose in life, for their vocation, for their understanding, for their priority, so that just like Jesus said, I came for you to have life and to have it to the full. He didn't want you to be overwhelmed at work and at home. He didn't want that for you. So that is just so beautiful. Thank you so much, Vera, for sharing. What an incredible story. Would you please definitely call us again, okay?
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to get to Marie in Youngstown, Ohio in just a moment. Marie, hang on. Don't go anywhere. I wanted to share with our listeners about Podcast Central, Power and Witness. Another great podcast on EWTN's Podcast Central is Power and Witness. Father Mark Mary and his guests discuss the witness of faith as they dive into the profound message of divine mercy, from Faustina's revelations to the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in the world today. You can hear this and other faith-filled podcasts at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/podcasts today. Okay, we are going to stay in Ohio. Marie from Youngstown, Ohio, Sirius XM 130, you're next. Welcome, Marie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much, and thanks for calling. You go right ahead.
Sure. I'm a first-time caller also.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
But your topic today I want to share my story. Okay. Now, my son was an atheist. We were cradle Catholics, and the family kind of fell away from the church. And he went to college, became an atheist. And then we have both had our separate paths. I came back to the church, but he did not for a while. And he was really restless. And one day was walking past a small church, the St. Mary's of the Presentation, and he just had the urge to walk in. So he walked in and started then from that point going back to church. Wow. And then there was a little ad in the bulletin about going to an abbey in Richmond. Mm-hmm. So he went up to this monastery and did a little retreat. And when he came back, he said that he's thought his call was to the priesthood.
Oh my
this was
goodness!
This was before COVID. Mm-hmm. It had to be in maybe 2017, maybe. Mm-hmm. Okay, so and then he started to do these things that, you know, he left his job that he had. He sold every, because he was basically making bongs. But so he walked away from that, sold everything he had, mm-hmm. Was almost living out of his car. I was having a lot of distress. He wouldn't come and live with me. He was active in his church, had many odd jobs, just trying to make ends meet. And one day I was at Mass in the morning, and, you know, I had been doing the Divine Chaplet and the Rosary, and really I was... had a lot of distress. Mm-hmm. And one day at Mass, I was right after the consecration, while the priest was doing the Eucharistic prayer, I heard this voice that is not like, you know, or, you know, because it wasn't my thought. And it was, "Why do you worry? I have him."
Wow.
And from that point on, I felt like I had such consolation.
Yeah. Yeah. "Why do you worry? I have him."
Yeah.
Is that amazing? And yeah.
So after COVID, you know, he started going to a spiritual director during COVID, actually. And, you know, he was going, you know, again, discerning the priesthood. But then that wasn't his call. His call was to be a Trappist monk.
Oh, my goodness.
So today he has simple vow. He has taken his simple vows at St. Joseph's Abbey in Spencer, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is amazing, Marie. Oh, can we put your son in our prayer book? We want to continue for his journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Do you have
brother? He would be Brother Craig, C-R-A-I-G.
Brother Craig. Wow, what a story and what a way to end this episode. Marie, I am so glad you stepped up. That is incredible how the Lord moves, and he moves so quickly. And yes, he does have it covered, because we have a great God. Marie, you got to call us again and keep us updated on his journey. And thank you so much for stepping up and being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Ron in LA, Catherine in Cleveland, Ohio, Maria in New Orleans, Louisiana. You can always call back on Unscripted, and you can share your experiences of God, okay? We open that up as an open forum so that you guys can share your stories if you didn't get on air with us, because we do take a lot of calls. Thank you to the show team, Matt and Michael and Pedro. Wow, you guys are incredible behind the scenes. Tomorrow, it's all about Padre Pio on his feast day. I can't wait. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.